You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 9, Episode 18. Hope you enjoyed the summer break. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. Kieran Burke is my name, and of course my co-host is Gary Riley. Gaz, how was your break?
It was quite good, yeah. Good to get the break all the same. Did miss the old football, what were you saying?
Do anything nice?
I went to Pitbull.
Jesus, you in concerts, lad.
I don't know. I got going to Tate McRae there.
Tate McRae, Eurovision, you were basically at that. You were glued to it so much.
Yeah. Well, I had to bloody do a town match the night of the final. But I wasn't impressed with the quality in the Eurovision, as you know. But
what about the quality of Pitbull? I actually drove past it the night, the
unbelievable.
Second night. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, God. I'll tell you, like, listeners, get to it if you can. Mr. Worldwide. All the ball caps and...
Did you have one on?
No, I didn't have one. I didn't get. I only got the tickets late, so I couldn't get a ball cap in time. But it was, great crack. Everybody buzzing. Great, everyone in great form. Songs are bangers. Yeah, you know, it's just class.
Yeah, could have done without him now. On the what night was the second night?
Night was the second night.
The night, yeah, that was the night Ireland was playing the friendly
in Senegal, yeah,
against Senegal, and yeah, the traffic was a disaster afterwards. So could have done without Mr. Worldwide clogging.
Oh God, tunnel. He was great, and your beloved tunnel. Come here, what did you? While we're on the break topic, what did you make of the Ireland performances?
I didn't want to be the one to say it on the Friday night after the game. Like, I logged on to Twitter after the Senegal game, and I thought we were after qualifying for the World Cup, the way people were going on about this performance, how great it was. And I was like, okay, we were very solid in the first half, but I was like, we didn't do a whole pile in the second, and it was Senegal's B team. But I was like, right, I'll keep that to myself for now, and we'll hopefully get a good result against Luxembourg. And then the Luxembourg game was complete and utter shite. So, yeah, not a great win, though, I don't think.
No, not fantastic. And I know I read somewhere that Heimer was like, oh, we'll play the team, strong team, and then the weaker team. And, you know, this means something, or, you know, Hungary and Romania are, you know, trying to match it up or something like that. I didn't really see the game plan here, to be quite honest. I thought it was flat. But
yeah, we're still really struggling to create chances. Big concern.
It is a concern.
I think Evan Ferguson's form is a big concern as well. The positive from the Friday game anyway definitely was McAteer and Taylor. I thought they were absolutely excellent on the Friday night.
What did you make of Killian Phillips?
He wasn't on the pitch that long. He gave away a free kick for handball, a bit unfortunate, shortly after he came on, and they almost scored from that Senegal. But again, people were raving. Like, the lad was only on the pitch a couple of minutes, so...
Yeah, I thought he got himself around quite well for his debut. I was impressed with McAteer.
Yeah.
It seemed to be a case of, okay, we're going up that side and we're going to make hay there. I just felt flat from it, to be quite honest. I didn't think it was fantastic. A window, as you said. The goal scoring thing is certainly an issue. Even McAteer's goal was fortunate, to say the least. And he still took it well. But yeah, I thought it was quite flat, to be quite honest.
Yeah, we'll have to play a lot better in September if we're going to have any chance of reaching the World Cup. I've been very busy this week, actually. And at the end of last week, I've been doing a number of commentary games at the Club World Cup. You've been watching any of them games? And what do you make of the tournament, actually, as a...
You're flying over and back, eh?
Oh, I am, yeah. I get the airplane
in, yeah. I watched some of the Inter...
Miami
and the other... whoever they were playing on Saturday.
They were playing Al-Akhli from Egypt.
I thought they were very good. Did you?
Al-Akhli?
Yeah. Wouldn't score ever. Yeah. But, I thought some of their play was really nice. Some of the...
Yeah, your boy Trezeguet, that used to play for Villa, was unbelievable in the first half.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did that. That was a 1 a.m. kickoff on Sunday morning, Saturday night. So I went from work in Dundalk to Longford, did the game with you, which we'll get to later, and then straight back up the motorway to Dublin to do that game, and then back to work the next morning. So it's been a mental couple of days. I did a bit of the game earlier on there, Fluminense and Borussia Dortmund. Dortmund were absolutely stink.
What was the score in that game?
0-0. So the two games I've done are 0-0. I'm doing Chelsea and Flamengo now on Friday. So hopefully we'll get a few goals in that one. But the reason I mentioned that is not to brag. The reason I mentioned that is because we have Kieran Kilduff coming up on the show a little bit later on. Now, this is an interview that was made available last Friday night on the Members Club. And usually anything that goes on the Members Club is exclusive for the Members Club. That's the whole idea of it. But just given the week that I've had, haven't had time to get any other guests on this week. So it's actually a very interesting interview with Kilduff. So I'm going to make that available for everyone on this week's podcast. I'm sure our members won't mind. They can skip through it and save themselves 5 minutes of listening or whatever. But he had some comments to make about our mate Duff. About, not directly about Duff, but I did ask him about, you know, all the talk about the mid-season break, that it should be scrapped. So he had a fairly firm response to that, and he had some other interesting comments. Dylan McGlade is training there, which is surprising, I'll say. We'll probably get to that later. We reported exclusively on Twitter on Friday night that J.R. Wilson was going to be signing, and that was announced on Saturday morning, so we were on the money there. So we'll talk to Kilduff about all of that a little bit later on. I text you earlier in the week when we were kind of planning, right, what are we going to do on our first pod back from our break? And I said to you, we're going to make a point of not talking about Damien Duff this week. Mm-hmm. Because his antics after the game on Friday was complete bullshit, I thought. Now, we've talked a lot about Duff, about how he's great for the league and great for this and great for that. But, like, I thought he was miles off the mark on Friday, going on about Rovers been disrespectful and Bradley been disrespectful. I thought it was great rustling from the Rovers lads, I have to say, playing the Shell song in the dressing room after the game.
Yeah, to be honest with you, all of that tat passed me by, to be quite honest. I didn't watch that game on Friday.
You lost the game, you're what, 12 points off the top or whatever, like, shut up.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, but you see, like, I suppose, you know, 2 or 3 years of, you know, as I always say, people have been welded to his hole, is going to give you that extra bump. And obviously, look what he's achieved in the game. You know, he's achieved a lot. And now he's a, you know, league winning manager on top of that. So, you know, there's definitely grounds for it. But, like, you know, don't need to get into the nitty gritty shite that he does be going on with. And then you're right, last night.
Yeah, so you're right. You've been saying that for a while. And I've always floated the argument about, you know, people interviewing them, oh, it's not their place to put their opinions across and all that. But a lot of people pointed out after those comments Friday online that, you know, Duff has celebrated widely at other grounds since he has been manager of Shelburne. And then we've seen him last night down on the hands and knees. So, that he should have been pulled on them comments, really, I thought, on Friday. But look, the reason I want to actually talk about Duff, aside from that, is the Champions League draw today. That was the best draw that Shelburne could have got, for anyone that's missed it, that have been drawn against Linfield.
Yeah, it's great. Well, I think it's a great draw. And I think there's very few teams in the League of Ireland Premier Division that couldn't do a job on probably everybody in the NIFL. Maybe Declan Devine or Rory Higgins might have something else to say about that now that they're managing up there. But I'd say probably is the kindest draw that they could have got.
Yeah.
They could definitely do a job home and away, I believe. But with the first game being at home, they need to get their homework done and get it done convincingly before going up the north and potential for a banana skin situation going on there. So, needs to be boxed off in Talca Park in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, Pat's got a very kind draw as well. We were just chatting about them off air there a couple of moments ago. This Lithuanian team that they've drawn against, they seem to be one of these kind of clubs that's just rose to prominence out of nowhere. I think they were only founded in 2009. They changed their name a few years ago. They seem to be owned by a company. It's a bit of a TNS job by the looks of it.
Mm-hmm. Still an opportunity though for Pat's. What's the name?
Sorry, I'll get the name again now. Yeah, Helgeman
or something like Helgeman, that.
And we were just looking. They played Skupi from North Macedonia last year in European qualifying, and they were beaten 5-0. So really, we're looking for Pats to get through this tie.
We are. I watched them last night. I wasn't very impressed at all. So hopefully this will be a welcome breather from the league. They just had one and didn't really help them.
We'll dip back into Pats in a second because you were there last night, as you said. Just to round off the European little bit here before we start the show properly, I suppose we have to talk about Drogheda.
What can you say? Like, it's...
I watched Kevin Doherty's post-match interview. I actually watched his two interviews. Watched the pre-match interview, and then I watched the post-match interview last night after the game against Rovers, which I was watching, so I'll talk about that game in a while. But, the post-match interview was a tough watch. You could really see he was hurting, properly hurting. Like, my heart went out to him a little bit.
Yeah, look, we're big fans of Kevin, and, you know... But it doesn't really matter. Like, if this happened to any club, really, you'd be sick. But on the other hand, it needed to be sorted. There was no question. Like, it doesn't matter. Well, like, when did Silkeborg qualify? Do you know? It was only recently.
Yeah, it was last couple of weeks.
So, and the March 1st deadline, just to get some of the facts out here, I won't do the Rafa Benitez, here's some facts. But, and I know what you were saying there, that it was nearly a surprise at Silkeborg, because they were in the relegation half of the table. And then
I know I commentate on a lot of overseas football, but I haven't watched a whole pile of Danish football this season.
No, and I don't know.
It wasn't me that told you any of that.
Yeah, okay. But wherever I read it or picked it up or dreamt it up, they were in like the lower thing,
right?
The split through the split league thing.
You
know, with a few games left in the season, they bet the team in the European playoff thing, and they were in the higher half of the table and all the rest of it. So, like, I can understand how it mightn't have been a thing, but like, if you own multiple clubs, right, like, you don't want to be owning multiple clubs doing nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like, so you might think, okay, we might get something somewhere at some point. I think no matter what way it's said or this happened and the date was moved and this and that, I think that's not really good enough. I know they said sorry in their statement, but like...
Oh, the statement.
Sorry does nothing for me.
The statement was so corporate speak.
Yeah, but that's what you get from, you know what I mean? It wasn't, you know, some owner of a club. Like,
they should have just released a statement. We fucked it. We're sorry. It would have been much better. Like,
yeah, yeah. And that's the only way.
Would you be a South Park man at all? No?
I'd watch it. No, I wouldn't watch it. Religiously, no.
Yeah, it could be one of the more recent seasons. You know, the whole Tegrity Farms.
Yeah, yeah.
There was an episode where, like, I can't remember, was it his or, like, was a rival company or something, but, like, some company made a massive blunder and they released this PR campaign. It's just like, we're sorry. We're sorry. Do you remember that one, though?
No? I don't, no.
He's in, like, a field of wheat and he's just like, we're sorry. Seen someone had that, like, meme up yesterday. Yeah, very corporately speaky. Kind of statement that came out, to be honest, not really much good to anyone. But we've been trying to put good vibes out really over the last few weeks, and just would hope that this was going to go Drogheda's way. And like, a lot of people that were been asked about it seem to be very positive. I think Kevin Doherty said everything he had been told, you know, led him to have a lot of positivity that everything could go their way, and it hasn't. And we kind of held off on talking about, I suppose, the technicalities of it until we seen how it all came out in the wash. But like, the owners really have dropped the ball here. And I know there's talk this evening about the FAI and not forwarding some sort of UEFA correspondence. But as I said before, there's been journalists that have been highlighting this for the last 6 months or so, that this was a possibility. Yeah. There's been other examples of this at other European clubs. It's been in the news, this multi-club ownership stuff, for a while now. There was enough information out there for this to be avoided. So... I'm afraid the owners have massively dropped the ball.
Yeah, like this is like a well-known issue. This is a well-known, right, I own two football clubs in Europe. I need to have this boxed away. That I need, you know.
Well, yeah, like there's been a lot of cases where, you know, there's been exceptions made because certain things have been done, shares moved into different blah, 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 whatever. We won't go into the old nuts and bolts of it. But do you think there was maybe a feeling that, oh, look, we're little old Drogheda, they'll let us in? Was there a bit of complacency because there's been so many exceptions made in the past? Do you think they were like, well, we're not going to be the first one to be kicked out, a little old club in Ireland that hasn't qualified for Europe in 20 years?
Yeah, but like I would say, those exceptions, I don't know the ins and outs of those exceptions either. But this was a date thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like due to the split nature of the seasons. So like you're thinking, right, I'm in there in November, right? The Drogheda side of Trevella, and I was like, right, I need to make sure that these boys don't, whatever happens, make sure that we can get qualified into whatever European competition we fall into, and there's no problem. I noticed the Silkeborg qualification was more recent, but they needed to have, what difference would it have made? Like, are UEFA going to go, oh, lad, don't tell us about this because only one of your teams have qualified. We don't need to know this information yet. Is it like that? Do you know what I mean? What? I just can't get past it. Like, it's bullshit. Like, it's pure bullshit.
Yeah, and you know,
I've been let happen.
I think it's going to irreverably change the relationship between the Drogheda United supporters and Trevella. I think the whole partnership has been fantastic. Me and you have always been very much against the multi-club model. We've spoken about it a lot on the pod in the last few years. You remember when Hull came into Shells for their short little period, there was talk of Hull going into Dundalk. There's been loads of other talk of, I suppose we've seen Waterford as well and Fleetwood, and that one's probably worked out okay. And this one was going well. I mean, Trevella came in, they've made the club full time. They won the cup. They've got them good players over from the UK. Everything was going well, but this has probably tarnished a lot of the good work. It has tarnished a lot of the good work that's gone on. And I think there'll be a shift in mood now in how the owners are viewed by the Drogheda faithful.
Yeah, but it's not recoverable. Like you've denied a European adventure. Even if it was for one tie, you've taken that away.
Yeah,
and that's I don't know how you get that back. You don't really, unless they win the cup.
And it affects everyone. It affects the fans obviously because they're looking forward to that summer trip. There could be lads that have booked dates off there already, knowing kind of when the games are going to be. The players I spoke about before, I'm sure they've got European bonuses. What happens to them now? If I'm the captain, I'm going straight to whoever the rep is at the club to speak to the owners. I want $5,000 flat for every player in that dressing room.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it affects everyone in different ways, but it doesn't affect anyone in a good way, that's for sure.
No,
good point last night. They wouldn't have been playing last night if they weren't in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
They've got three games in about 14 days or something.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be happening if they weren't in Europe.
No, exactly. But I understand what you're saying, and I do 100% feel for them. It's just they've been let down by their ownership.
Yeah.
And you know, we can go around about dates and like, oh, the FAI never told us, or they did tell us. I know there was talk there this evening that the FAI did make them known, and there was an issue raised with the DBU, the Danish Football Federation as well. So like it was well known. All they had to do was make
not only has this affect Drogheda, it's affect the league as well, because we now only have three teams going in and the coefficient will still be split by four. So this is going to do massive damage to our coefficient. The other side of this as well, not to move away from Drogheda too quickly, although I think we've probably said everything we can say on it. Derry City dropped the ball here, and a number of other clubs dropped the ball by not having a UEFA license. Now, Derry were in Europe last season. There's no reason they shouldn't have a European license. They have everything in place. They've got the stadium. They've got everything. As I said on a previous pod, I don't know what type of admin staff they have whether it's a lot of volunteer people or whether they have professional people in. Like Drogheda recently appointed a new I think CEO.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they're professionalizing that side of things. And a lot of clubs now have done that. Obviously Rovers had Johnny Martin, they've got someone else in there now, I think. I don't know whether that's the case at Derry or not, but like if they haven't got people there to be looking at this kind of stuff all the time, then this has to be a wake up call to them and to all the clubs that they need to start, you know, taking strides to improve themselves off the pitch. A lot of the clubs investing big into players and squads and all the rest, but off the pitch, like a lot of clubs have dropped the ball here. Someone could have been getting a free pass into Europe right now if they just had that little bit of foresight.
That's true, and like it's embarrassing, and really for Derry in particular, because like what did they think they were going to be doing last season? You know, the licensing opens shortly for next season. So if you wanted to get like I would say Longford Town would have a Premier license, there's only one thing that we don't have at the minute, which can be resolved easily if it did need to be. But other than that, I think you said it a couple of weeks ago on the pod that every other year Longford Town have had a Premier license, and it was a few years ago, there was one year that we had a UEFA license.
Yeah.
So like, and that was credit to the very few people that are there to be able to do that type of work, and you know, a credit to them. But what is going on at Derry? Like I would say the assets that they have that they're able to, you know, as you said, admin staff and stuff like that, get a lad in to do it.
Yeah.
Just exactly. Do that. Just do that job. You know, whatever it is for a few months make him full time or whatever it is, it'll be worth it in the end. It's kind of embarrassing though, because what they thought that they just wouldn't win the cup, that they wouldn't get anything else, not win the league. I don't really know what the thought process is there. It is disappointing, like I would say, I know for the rest of the league, hopefully the teams can have a massive coefficient year and build it up a bit, but it is just a huge bit of bad news, there's no doubt about it.
That's exactly what we'll need. We'll need Pats, Rovers and Shells to really do well in Europe this summer. Right, into the Premier Division games over the last couple of nights. You were at Pats and Shells last night, a 1-0 win for Shells. Pats scoreless against Drogheda on the Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We did our mid-season review show a couple of weeks ago, and we were kind of talking about, you know, what we were kind of expecting from teams for the rest of the season. And I made the point, the surprise, I think yourself and a few, that a lot of people are expecting, oh, after the summer break, Pats will just click and off they go. And I said, I don't see that happening. And look, there's a long way still to go in the season, but This is a really poor way for Pats to resume after the summer break. Scoreless draw against Drogheda, the defeat last night. The reason I made those comments a few weeks ago, I don't think it's easy for any team to play really flat and poor for 3 or 4 months and then just click their fingers and off they go. Like, I think Real Madrid would find that difficult, let alone St. Pats, to be at really.
Bose kind of did it, no?
Yeah, it turned the corner quickly, but
They were helped out by a heap of like last minute winners and stuff like that, and pulling games out of the fire, which isn't a long term solution. But no, I know I definitely know what you mean, and look, it has proven to be the case. They're finding it very, very difficult at the minute.
Tell us about last night.
It was a late decision to go to the bloody game at all, but it was a nice evening. Glad I went. I thought Pats were poor in the first half. I thought they were poor enough in the second half, to be honest, as well. I know they were much improved, but didn't really do enough. Didn't trouble Cairns at all in the second half. I know there was a good chance in the second half, about 10 minutes left. Cairns had to make a good save, but that was kind of really their only bit of danger. Keane had a shot from outside the box that was looked to be travelling into the corner, but Cairns held on to it, so like it wasn't that venomous. I think, but who was it? Was it McLennan? No. Jamie Lennon, I think, hit the crossbar. But like, I know when you put it all like that, oh, they were on top. I never really felt that they were going to get something out of the game. There's something missing there. that they're not finding at all. And Aang actually went up and got on the end of a corner. I just thought they were flat. There seems to be, and I know we moan about this all the time, the style of football that we're watching in the league and football in general. There seems to be an over importance or too much importance placed on possession here, and lots of passing around, and there isn't enough jeopardy.
It's funny you should say that. So as I was coming back from the commentary game I was doing tonight there, the Dortmund game, I just stuck TalkSport on the radio just to have a listen, and they were doing an entire segment on this. Actually, they were talking about the Premier League, and I actually put a tweet up recently on the BTS account about how the Premier League announced recently that the Premier League viewing figures were well down this season on Sky and TNT. Part of that was down to the fact Liverpool ran away with the title and there was nothing really. Relegation places were decided early as well, so that played a part in it. But the lads on TalkSport were talking this evening about the game last night at the Club World Cup between Boca and Benfica. Now, I flicked a bit of it on and was watching some of the first half, and then I fell asleep and didn't watch the second half because I was just absolutely wrecked. And I was raging then when I woke up this morning. I looked at it, I seen 2-2, three red cards. Herrera went off injured in the first half and then got sent off from the bench. But there was two actual red cards in the game after that as well. And the lads on TalkSport were saying that it was one of the best games they'd watched in years, because both teams, when they got the ball, were just going at each other. There was no possession for the sake of possession, and players had the freedom to basically do what they wanted on the pitch. And me and you have been speaking about this for a long time in terms of the League of Ireland and football in a wider sense, that every player is a robot now. They're all in a system, and they have to play in this area of the field. They have to pass it backwards and sideways. They can't take a shot from outside of the box because it'll affect the XG, or better to keep the ball. Like, there's a huge, huge problem about everything being systemized and sanitized, and there's not enough creative, you know, individuality in the game anymore.
Yeah, I think so. I think the, you know, if someone tells you, and I know, what's his name, Tierney Lynch was going on about analytics software there the other day.
We'll get to that when we get to Derry.
Okay, good. But like, you know, if there's some lad with a clipboard, you know, telling you that, you know, if you take a shot from 22 yards, you have a 0. whatever chance of scoring or whatever shite, that's not entertaining. I don't want to know about it or hear about it. I don't want to know anything about that. It should be eradicated from the game. But, and I'm not even saying that with Pats necessarily, but it just seems like there was a lot of backwards passing last night. We actually talked about it before. Like, Keane Levy has one foot on him. Like, it's scandalous. And like, a couple of times he had to, like, do it loop-de-loop nearly to get going the way he was going, because he couldn't just turn because he has no right foot. That was really noticeable last night. Well, I certainly noticed it a few times. That's not good enough. And that's not going into any analytics or anything like that, or any of the other stuff. That just is just a player not being able to do something for them. I don't really know what the next step here is. I thought there was a lot of poor enough performances. No one really stood out to me from a Pats perspective.
Well, they're 12 points off the top now. Like, is the title totally out of their remit now for the rest of the season?
I just Rovers have it. I think yeah,
done
deal. Yeah,
Bo's two games in hand.
Yeah, and
even a good run in Europe couldn't make. No,
sure they had their good run in Europe. They've been playing football since, you know, nearly a solid 18 months. You know what I mean? Like it's
that won't catch up with them at the end of the year, no?
No.
No, I don't think so. Like, the subs are changing games every week. It's the game last night, I didn't watch it entirely. I was in the studio last night and I had it on in front of me and I was watching as much as I could. But like, for a Monday night game, and, you know, both of these teams played at the weekend, and I was kind of watching it to see how would the atmosphere be in Drogheda and how would they respond. Well, there was no sign of a hangover anyway. 4 minutes in to take the lead. A great header from George Cooper. He was like a bowling ball, you know, clearing the pins out of the way. Up above two or three Rovers lads, took everything out of the way, headed the ball into the back of the net. Great goal from Cooper. But like Rovers responded instantly. Luke Dennison made a brilliant double save, and they just got the pressure on. And I know the big talking point in the game was the decision to give a free kick to Rovers just before half time. I couldn't see it at the time what it was. There was no appeals from the vast majority of Rovers players. The Rovers fans, which were right over that side, didn't appeal either. But when I seen the replay back, have to credit the, I think it was the linesman that gave it, not the referee. It's a very unlucky one for Andy Quinn. It's one of those where he's in a natural running motion. The arms are, I'm doing it here and no one can see me. The arms are up and down as he's running. And just as his arm comes up, the ball flicks his fingertips, we'll say.
Yeah.
Linesman spotted that. And to be fair, if it didn't hit Quinn's hand, it's probably running through, I think it was Burke that was unmarked. It's running through to him in the box on the edge of the area. So I can see why the free kick was given. It's a great finish from Graham Burke. And then the winning goal is just absolutely beautiful. Flowing team move. Andreu with a disguised ball in behind Aaron Green and he tucked it away. They just are, I think, a cut above everyone at the moment in the league, Shamrock Rovers. They just have that incisiveness. We're talking about a lot of teams trying to play this way and, you know, keeping the ball and sideways and backways. But Rovers can just open you up in that split second. And looking at the bench last night, Mandreou, Grant, Byrne, Noonan and Cleary all came on. Like, come on.
Yeah, no, it's... That's what it is. Like, even...
Sick.
Huh?
It's sick.
Yeah, it is. Like, I don't really know how they can be stopped. You know, if they keep those players healthy, I don't see how they can be stopped. Like, Bose with their two games in hand, I know they're having a good time against Rovers this season, but I just don't think Rovers will drop points elsewhere to let anybody else in, to be quite honest with you. I think it'll be not comfortable, but I think as the rest of the summer goes, I think they'll open up a bit of a gap that they'll be able to just bring home. So
I have to pull up a ridiculous comment I heard somewhere else as well. I'm not going to name the lads because I actually really like their work and they're good lads as well. I know they're big fans of the pod and they're probably listening, but was another platform somewhere else where one of the lads involved said that Healy is massively overrated. He has been sensational for Rovers this season.
Oh, he has, yeah. He's Jesus. Brilliant. Christ. Who said he? Okay,
all right. We won't jump under the bus. They're good lads. Yeah, no, they're good lads, and I like their stuff. But I heard that recently. I think I commented under it. I said, "Ah, lads, come on now."
No. He's very good.
Yeah. let's go into some of the other games then. I think aside from obviously Rovers really getting a grip of it over the weekend, I think the big stories were probably on the Friday night in terms of the relegation battle, because Sligo Rovers had a 1-0 win against Waterford and Cork City were booed off at half-time against Bows. They were beaten 2-0, a really comfortable win for Bows in the end. Could have scored a lot more. We'll get to Cork in a second, but Sligo Rovers, maybe a bit of fortune because Waterford had a goal disallowed early on. I'm not sure if you've seen that, the Paul Jammin goal, a real poacher's finish from him. It was given as offside, a very, very, very late flag. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
No, right, okay. Very marginal offside call. So that went their way and they had to ride their luck. But, I mean, this is this could be a really pivotal result in their season, getting a really hard fought 1-0 win against Waterford and then Cork not only beaten, but as I said, booed off by their supporters against Bohemians. Me and you have both said that we fancy Sligo to finish above Cork and we were given a big boost at the weekend when we seen this.
We were indeed. Look, I have confidence in Sligo for some reason. Like, it's not 100% founded. You know, like, they've been quite poor in a lot of games this season. They've dropped points and plenty of them. But they do have some green shoots all the same. Like, they have a goal scorer in Owen Elding. He's scored a good few goals this season. I think he's in the top four or five anyway. So there is potential there for them to go ahead and get into the playoff relegation spot, because I don't think they're going to be getting any further. Same with Cork. But I think, like, the window is still to come. It'll be important to, or it'll be interesting to see what Cork can do in the window. Will they be able to bring in any ringers or anything like that that might be able to make a significant impact? But yeah, I actually just did look at the Podge Almond thing. I can see why it was called.
It's the latest flag I've ever seen.
Yeah, no. It is quite late. I think probably there's a bit of chatting there as to who the ball hit back off. Did it hit back off the Waterford man? And if he's offside, I think that's a fair enough call. It did take a while to come through, though.
Just on Cork City, though, they only had one shot on target against Bowes. Bowes had 17 shots, 8 of them on target, only for the goalkeeper, Trousto. I know he's made a few mistakes before the break, but he's saved a huge amount of shots. I'd say he's probably saved the most shots of any keeper in the league. I'm just guessing that, but I'd say he's well up.
Yeah, no, I'd say you're right, yeah.
Like, they were torn apart here by Bohemians.
Yeah, no, they were, and...
at home.
Yeah, after a break, after a bit of time to reflect, I think I said before the break, like, you know, it would be a good time for Nash to get his teeth into them, figuratively.
Like, just on him, I mean, must be very worrying for a manager, and he's only a couple of games in there, and for them to throw in a performance like this, and for the fans to now already be getting, maybe not so much on his back, but the team's back, it's not a good start to his tenure there.
No, it's certainly not. Make no mistake, it isn't exactly an easy situation that he's gone into here.
No.
It's not, all right, boys, we're just in a bad vein of form, and we can pull it out of fire. Like, they did concede a lot of chances, as you said. What'd you say?
17 shots.
Sorry, yeah. Like, that's dire. And like, they were 1-0 down within 10 minutes, 2-0 down within, and
could have been a lot more. Like,
could have been a lot more. And even the first goal, like, I know it was a breakaway. They did get back. They just didn't affect the play at all. As you said, Trousto made a good few saves as well. So it's not easy.
And imagine paying £25 to look at it.
Well, that's it, and like, that's just another stick to be beaten with all the time, because like, you know, this is what's the most expensive game in the league? Is it? It'll be up there anyway. What's this 2 euro admin fee for buying a ticket for a Pats game? Please,
that's been around a while.
I don't give a shite. I don't want admin fee. What are you talking about? Buying a ticket? Bullshit! Like, yeah, total bullshit, lads. And I'll definitely, I don't know, it's only €2, like, but still. Yeah, it's tough going. I don't really know. They need to get reinforcements, serious reinforcements.
Massively,
in the window.
Yeah. Well, maybe they need to put an admin fee on the ticket, make it £27, and then they can get a few boys in.
Ah, good idea. Just round it off to 30, you know?
Yeah, I should be running clubs.
Yes.
Running them into the ground. right, Derry City 1, Galway United 1. Poor performance from Derry City, it has to be said, at home.
I didn't get looking at much of this now.
You didn't miss much.
Yeah, well...
all the football happened in the first half.
Was there much of that even?
Not a whole pile. We shared some quotes. The Derry City had a fan forum the other day. I think the Derry Journal reported on it. And one supporter kind of let Tiernan Lynch have it, really. He said, you'd be better off watching Coronation Street than watching what you're serving up this season. And Lynch responded, and you raised it earlier. He brought up some analytical backing for his defence of his team.
Yeah, well, he was going on about some analytical software that everything goes down the left or probably out to Michael Duffy or whatever. And I think he made the point in the article, it was said anyway, that because it's Michael Duffy out there, one of the best players in the league, you're going to use him very often, which is true. But also, it's not like a team like they've only one lad worth a damn. In the team, like, they've a squad of players. He's been backed. He's got players in. Jan Holtby said he'd quit playing for Dundee if the deal wasn't a let go through to go to Derry. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, these, like, there's not a lot of egots in this squad, let's say. So I don't really, you know,
in saying that, how many of these signings have worked out so far?
just on Tiernan Lynch, or like,
yeah, all these big boys that come in yeah. the off season. How many of them have really genuinely improved them?
Not much, really.
I haven't been blown away with Holt at all. White has shown glimpses, but you know, I'd want a bit more than that. The boy Boyce has been disappointing. They look weaker up front now than they did last season. Pat Hooban, there's a lot of talk of him moving maybe to Coleraine and linking back up with Rory Higgins. I think Mullen is a good player, but like, they don't seem to have a prolific front man. I think if they could take Moses Dyer from Galway, they probably would. But I just look at this Derry team and I just see way too many similar characteristics to last season. They're boring. They're very predictable. I think a lot of the time it's give the ball to Mark Connolly, watch him hit a diagonal out to one flank or the other, and hopefully he might find Michael Duffy, who will try and beat five or six men, and if he doesn't, sure, then that's it. Like,
yeah, it'll be nil-nil yeah. or lose 1-0. Yeah, no, that's a fair point.
That's the whole analytics thing. Like, I don't need analytics to tell me whether a team is playing well or whether I'm enjoying watching them. I haven't enjoyed watching Derry City this season.
No.
I think they've been extremely disappointing.
Yeah, no, they have. And very underwhelming as yeah. well as that. Like, they haven't had any very many highs to be noteful of. Like,
but it's okay because the XG is probably telling them everything's going to be grand.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and like I would say, you know, oh, Mark Connolly is hitting 70% of his diags out to Michael Duffy. Like, you know, what more do you want? You know, no one wants to hear that. That's the last thing. Like, someone should have told him, if you start going on about analytical software, right, we're going to have to get you choppered out of this place because it's bullshit. It's total bullshit. No one wants to hear this. Not great and rubbish like that. When you're watching, as you said, you can see what's right in front of your face. It's just not good enough. It's disappointing.
Couple of results for Galway recently. They seem to have lost the notions about themselves and just gone back to basics a little bit. And surprise, surprise, it's working for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, nice. You haven't had to say they've lost four games in a row. First time in
since
Caulfield's life, he's lost his four games in a row as a manager or whatever. But since
Jesus was a gossip.
Yeah. But yeah, look, it was a good result against they needed to beat Cork after those few losses in a row. They did that, and you know, a couple of good draws here kind of turns it around for them as well. But like, you know, it's similar enough to Derry. It's mid table shite. Do you know what I mean? Like, both of those teams would have had far higher aspirations for this season, and none of them have materialized.
Right, into the first division, and there was a bit of news, I suppose, while we were away, and that was Ian Ryan finally going in at Athlone Town, and he started his reign with a 2-2 draw against Kerry.
Yeah.
What do you make of the appointment?
I think we're kind of... Are we like, we're aware of it? So, I think it's an okay appointment. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's fine. Wouldn't blow me away. He has a big job on now with his old defensive.
Just going to say that was his Achilles heel at Wexford and Bray. Couldn't really seem to get a tight defence together, and that has been Athlone's huge issue. They've had issues all over the place, but I think anyone going in there will improve the situation, because it almost looked like they weren't training earlier in the season. It was just like they were rocking up in different cars and putting 11 lads out on the pitch and out they went.
Oh, you're here.
Yeah. So I think him going in there, they'll definitely improve going forward. Defensively, I'd be worried about them, but I think it'd be very difficult for any manager of any description to go in there and not improve them in some shape or manner.
100%. Like, it'll just bring a bit of structure. One voice coming out of like one voice worth of instructions, stuff like that will definitely improve them. Like, they can't get any worse, really, to be honest. Decent result for Kerry away from home, though, all the same.
Yeah. Right, Finn Harps against Wexford. It was a 1-1 draw. There was a stunning goal early in the game. Did you see it?
Where Remind me. Watch these on Saturday morning.
Myself, I watched these this morning, and that's how weak my head is. I'm just going to get the goal scorer's name. He deserves credit. It was an absolute belter of a goal. It was young Callum Flynn scored an absolute whopper of a goal. And then the Harps equaliser was actually a lovely goal as well. Gavin Gilmore went on this incredible run down the right, whipped in a perfect ball to Lombotto, and Lombotto tucked it away with a header. It was actually a really, really lovely goal to watch. The two brilliant goals in the game, but it ended 1-1.
Yeah, decent result for Harps.
They played well. They created a good few chances, actually.
I think... these are one of the games you'd forget, I suppose, like lots of the games in the first division this season. Like, Wexford are outside of the playoff places. Is it vital that they go up to Donegal and win? Not really.
They need to start winning more games, full stop. I mean, 6 wins from 18 is a very disappointing return. And I know we can talk about all the young players, they're blooding and everything. But I mean, at the end of the day, James Keddie got the road, despite getting them into the playoffs 2 years in a row and getting them to an FAI Cup semi-final. So the very minimum expectation for Stephen Elliott, despite the fact that it's his first job and maybe he's been given that remit to go in and try and blood some more young players.
How many young players do you want?
Minimum expectation will still be playoffs no matter what.
Yeah.
They did very little after the goal. Scored an amazing goal and then they kind of just sat back, really, and Finn Harps did well. We've talked about their limitations, but they actually created plenty of chances in the game. But I think Wexford will be massively disappointed with their performance on the night and their performances overall this season. Treaty United 2, Bray Wanderers 1. This was an absolutely brilliant result for Treaty United. Bray Wanderers maybe starting to lose a little bit of steam, but for Treaty, punching above their weight once again this season. Tommy Barrett, for me, probably the best manager in the division on a shoestring budget.
Yeah, absolutely. He's doing it again. Some really good results in the last little while. Obviously, he filled in Longford Town there a few weeks ago. Another good win against Bray. They also remember they hammered UCD as well.
Yeah.
Down in the Brandywell down in Marketsfield. UCD did have a lad sent off in that game, so that obviously helped their plight. But a good couple of results. Like, they're comfortably in the playoffs now. They're 4 points clear of UCD in fifth.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a really decent half season so far. Like, I know there's always some complaints, but from Treaty fans, but them boys only really show up after a loss. Do you know what I mean? Like, you never really hear. You're very quiet, like, Tommy's a grand lad after a win. Like, it's very fickle stuff. But another good win here. Tommy would be delighted.
Longford Town 1, Cove Ramblers 1.
Epic.
Cove will be sick as parrots that they didn't take all 3 points here.
Oh, they will? Yeah. But you have to play until the 95th minute, lad. You have to keep it going.
Longford got a few late goals this season.
Have we?
There was a late equaliser against
At Lone,
yeah.
Cove. Anyone else?
Maybe. I thought they conceded some late goals too, so there's just been late drama in Longford's games. So but this was a very poor performance from Longford Town, let's not sugarcoat it.
It was poor. It was a great result. Great to get it back. And probably the best thing I could say about the Longford performance was that they managed to just not concede a second goal, which was a highlight. But like, there was...
The goal they conceded, they never should have conceded. They were just camped in the edge of their own area, didn't push out, allowed Cove to flood as many bodies into the box as they wanted, and didn't deal with a bouncing ball. It was a dreadful goal, long for getaway.
Oh, dire. Yeah, no, it should never have happened. And like, it was just to point it out, like, to be fair to Luke Wade Slater, he was the only lad that got his head on it at all and just because it bounced a couple of times, he couldn't get it out very far. And there was a lot of statue shit, like, you know, lots of people watching and not impacting the game enough. And it was a terrible goal. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, there was nothing about it. But that's what they did. But what the worst thing about the whole thing from a Cove perspective is, what, had 10 chances in the first half?
Yeah, could have been well ahead after probably half an hour.
Yeah. Like 3-0 wouldn't have been an unreasonable result.
One cleared off the line. What else did they have?
Put two or three by the post.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of other chances as well. I thought Harry Halwax had a great game. I know he threw one out there.
He nearly punched one backwards into his own net at the end, but aside from those two,
he did have to make a lot of saves.
He did
very well. Like, he wasn't spilling anything or anything like that. He was
very good in the area. He gathered a lot of cross.
Exactly.
He's got much better at that because that was a weak part of his game. So
100% took the words out of my mouth. So, like, I thought I think he's nearly a different Harry Halwax than we saw from the first game of the season, which is a positive for Longford Town, but. Positive was getting a point out of the game. Well done to Frank Campbell for keeping on going, because I was fit to kill him after letting the ball go out at the end line. But look, he redeemed himself, so that was good to see. But it's just going to be a tough old slog for Longford Town for probably the rest of the season. Away to Wexford on Friday, so that'll be a tough one there as well.
One set of supporters that were very pleased to see that Longford equaliser were Dundalk fans, so nice to do them a favour, because they had dropped points on the Friday night against UCD. I was at this game, and it was probably even worse than the Longford Town game. It definitely was worse. This was a dreadful, dreadful game of football.
Really? Yeah?
Yeah, terrible performance from Dundalk.
Oh, why was that? Was it just flat? Or
Flat beyond belief.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, that's not good. But look, yeah, they're picking away. They're dragging up points. They haven't lost a game all season. Like, does it really make a difference? No. The
problem they're going to have is if they do go up, they having a prayer with this squad next season of staying up. They would struggle to even be competitive in the Premier Division next season with this squad.
There's no question about that. Like, I think it'd be,
if this squad went up now with no signings, it'd be a 12 or 13 point job, I think,
across the whole season.
Yeah. The standard between the two divisions is night and day.
Oh, it'll only get worse.
Yeah.
It's going to be going.
And that's why I find, and we'll play the interview with Kieran Kilduff now very, very shortly, but I find signings like Dylan McGlade, if he is to be signed, I would find that strange because, okay, I suppose it's Kilduff's job to do the job that's in front of him, and that's to win the title and get promoted. They're having a big issue breaking down teams at the moment, and we know McGlade can do that from his time in the First Division previously with Longford. He can be a difference maker, so I can understand that. But we also know from Dylan McGlade, he goes missing against the bigger teams in the big games.
Yeah.
I can think of like Longford playing Cork City in the Cup, and he was on great form going into that game. And sure, he just, you know, may as well not have been out there for the Cup now. Well, no, we lost 7-1. It wasn't his fault, but like, he couldn't get involved in the game at all. I think big pressure playoff games when they came around, didn't really perform. He's not going to get you out of a relegation dogfight in the Premier Division.
A relegation dogfight.
The only kind of dogfight.
Absolutely. No, he's not. But I don't really know. Like we looked at there. I think I said it to you when you told me that he was signing. There's no shade on him. I don't think he's a Premier Division player at all. I think
Cork fans would probably tell you that too. Like,
I'd say anybody would. The point I think though is, what's the. I don't really know what the next step is. Like, we looked a couple of years ago, like when Galway were bossing the First Division, like they went and got players from like that they were signing early on.
To be fair though, a lot of them lads they signed didn't really end up being Premier Division players either. A. Durbin went in, he's now playing First Division. Wasim went in there. I don't know where he is now. And
Agria.
Was, yeah.
Mm.
And was Gaxa one of them signings in the middle of the season as well?
No, he signed in the off season. Yeah. Okay,
but like the two lads didn't bring it. They probably could have been, but like I know what you're saying, but like how could Dundalk sign players now that would strengthen them for Premier Division? They don't have the finances to do that, really.
I wouldn't say that.
Look, as I said, it's Kilduff's job to do the job in front of him right now, and that's to win the First Division. So yeah, I think these signings, J.R. Wilson going in will help because Conor O'Keefe has been injured recently a lot. I think he's had a concussion. He's getting it difficult to get rid of, and Ed Irvine's had to go in at right back, and then they're losing his energy in the midfield. So by signing J.R. Wilson, he can play right back, Irvine can play in the midfield, and that's a big help. There's a lot of criticism for Dean Ebbe. A lot of criticism from Dundalk supporters, and given his history with Longford, you think I'd only be too happy to weigh into that criticism. Yeah. But every time I'm speaking to Dundalk fans, like, they've been really, really critical of him. And I'm like, I know what you're saying, but like, he will score you goals.
He can go on vacation now and again, that boy.
I'm surprised that it hasn't been more rosy in the garden for him, given what we've seen from him last year in the First Division, because I remember games in particular where we were watching him and he was scoring goals. But also, I remember a game against Longford. I think it was the game where we were 3-0 up and ended up drawing 3-3.
Oh,
every single ball that went up to Ebbe that night in the air, he won every single header. Now, sometimes it was a flick onto nobody, but he always got the first contact on it.
Yeah.
Whereas this season, I'm looking at him and he's getting it very hard to be involved in games. He's having very few touches. When he does get it, yeah, he's not really making it stick. And that's been the surprising thing for me, aside from maybe the lack of impact he's had goals-wise.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that you say that, like, there's a lot of unhappiness around him, or from the fans anyway. Because, like, as you said, we know from last year, like, he can do it. And he's played in, like, a lot of leagues and teams around.
Yeah,
around
he's played in better leagues. That's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. So, Lucas, I think it's another thing that, like, they have enough quality and they're still grinding it out no matter what way you slice it. So it'll be fine, I'd say. But I think your point about Kieran Kilduff, yeah, that's the first, he has to win the division and get promoted. Yeah, but like, is his job to get sacked in April next year? Like, I know he's limited, he can't just go and sign a Premier Division team right now. But like, it's just a strange signing, which kind of opens that question up, I think.
Sure, look, I'll tell you what, let's go and hear from Kieran Kilduff. I spoke to him after the game on Friday. Kieran, another point on the board, still unbeaten, but what did you make of the performance overall tonight?
Yeah, it was flat. It was flat. You know, I think the overriding feeling was that probably frustration again. We're constantly trying to, you know, build on our on the start we've had, and you know, we've won our last three, so there was nothing other than a win was going to satisfy us tonight. And did we do enough to win the game? No, probably not. I thought UCD were good in moments too, but I suppose going ahead in the game and then probably giving up a soft enough goal probably frustrates a little bit, and I don't think we ever really did enough after that then to, you know, re-establish our lead and win the game. But yeah, look at UCD themselves, they've some good players and they've some players back from injury now, and you can see that they've you know, they've really turned the corner, and they're aggressive in what they're doing and they know what they're about. So we got a good test tonight, and probably a draw was a fair result.
It can often be a problem for a lot of teams this time of the year, summertime, nice weather, crowds drop down a little bit. Crowds have definitely dropped here in the last few weeks. I know the owner has spoken about that. There just seemed to be a general flatness around the entire game, the atmosphere. Yeah. Do you think that affected the players?
Massively, yeah. It hurts as well, because we need sometimes, you know, a 12th man, and tonight the ones that are here are always here, but you know, we've noticed the drop off that you've alluded to too. You know, we try, you know, we've only 9 league games left, I think, and then a cup game against Sligo. I know we'll get a big crowd for the Sligo game because everyone will come out to it, but you know, there shouldn't be any entitlement or complacency about the place right now. We've brilliant away support, they come everywhere with us and they're brilliant on the road, and we're so appreciative to everyone that's here tonight as well. But I just feel that we were probably flat on the pitch, and the place was flat too, and there was probably an expectation, and I can guarantee it didn't come from within the group, because this group have just managed to go half a season unbeaten and be top of the table. So it's not down to, you know, a lack of effort. It's not like these lads, I don't feel, deserve the maximum support of the club. I took this job probably on the back of seeing at the end of last season when the town got out and supported the club and the team when they were already relegated. And I think there was 2,500 here to see them play Shamrock Rovers, but this team are trying to get the club back there. And I'm just basically probably looking at us going, well, we're going to need everyone now. We need this place to really become a fortress, because we've dropped more points here than on the road substantially. When we go, we know what we bring with us, but isn't that what come down to us and the group as well? You know, young lads playing here in front of, you know, 1,500 people who are all expecting a performance.
And just touching back on the flatness, you obviously would have expected after the break, players coming back from the break, you know, top of the league, they've maybe some of them been on their travels, I don't know, but you would have expected maybe a bit more of a buzz around the team this evening.
Yeah, look, that's probably what we put it down to. We tried to train well, we pushed ourselves all week. I can't fault the lads for their efforts, you know what I mean? They're trying, but you know, there probably wasn't enough fluidity around us tonight, and just felt flat. We were flat, you know, you have to put your hands up sometimes, but as I said, when you zoom out, to reach the halfway point unbeaten, to be given, as I said, Luke Mulligan, his first league start, is the 20th different player to start for us in 18 games, which shows that we've trusted young lads, we've trusted as many as we can to this point, and yeah, I thought he acquitted himself very well tonight. But overall, as a team, I just felt there was definitely, you know, and there shouldn't be as well, because, you know, we knew coming back from the break, we definitely didn't overindulge. We trained really hard this week and did everything right, we felt. So we're probably a little bit disappointed that as a group, we were a little bit flat tonight.
And just on the break itself, obviously, there's been a lot of discussion about a recently one manager in particular, very against it. Have you a view on it as someone that was a player in the league as well?
Yeah, I think since I've been in the league and I've been around it now for 15 years, we've always had it, and I think we're entitled to it. We're not a club, you know, a lot of, especially our club now, maybe the Premier Division now has turned that corner, but like, it would have been criminal for us not to have a break. I think you know, the lads we have gone for leaving cert, I haven't seen Sean Keogh since Wexford. Last time I saw him was the last match night, which was 2 weeks ago, doing his leaving cert. You know, I don't think lads probably, I think a lot of people in this league sacrifice so much, myself included and coaches included. You know, we're not millionaires, you know what I mean? We're not going home to our mansions. We leave our families for very little financial gain at times, players included. Clubs are struggling to keep going, and I think that break sometimes is needed for people to do very important things like leaving certs or go back to their families, get their kids away, because even at the end of the season, some lads, you know, don't get paid in the off season. So that break in the middle of the summer might be the only time lads get to see their kids, their families, their wives, their, you know, whatever. Do you know what I mean? Their partners. And I don't think taking that away, especially in our division right now, would have even been a thought. I think the lads have earned it. I think when you give so much and you travel to Cove and to Finn Harps and to Kerry and all of these places to have a couple of days with your family in the middle of the season, I can't see a negative in it.
Just another thing on tonight's game, there was 8 yellow cards in the game. There didn't seem to be a whole pile of, you know, vicious tackles or anything. Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, I don't know I don't even know if there was 8 tackles. Do you know what I mean? There was nothing in the game. Things that maybe were a little bit more weren't getting the card. That inconsistency was hurting the game. And, you know, we were quite animated on the sideline with it, because any hope you had for the game to spark or come to life in a footballing sense was nullified at every opportunity. So yeah, I could sense it from the crowd, but you could sense it from both technical areas too. It was definitely frustration.
Final couple of questions before the advertising board blows down here again, but
as well.
We're getting towards the summer window now. I think there's been reports online that I think I seen him there, Dylan McGlade has been training with the club. I think from what I understand as well that J.R. Wilson might be signing for the club. Can you give us any update on that?
Yeah, no, both of them are definitely ones we're talking to. With Dylan home from Australia, he's been doing a bit of training with us. It's definitely one I need to speak to in the coming days. Again, the window's not open for another 2 weeks, and even then, you know, more people become available closer to it. But yeah, we're trying to act early. You can see tonight, you know, that we need a few extra bodies in, and just to strengthen the squad. As I said, how can you fault the 20 odd lads who have got us to the midpoint, top of the table, and unbeaten? It's unheard of. It's unprecedented. It's ahead of expectation. But we definitely like to add a few more and try and finish the season as strong as we can.
Just on Dylan, if you do sign him, I suppose he's a player that's, you know, he's a maverick. He can open up a game individually. Is that something you're kind of keen to add to the team? Because yeah, we've spoken about teams maybe sitting in against Dundalk and how difficult it is to break them down. Having that X factor could be a big.
Yeah, listen, you can see him many times this season. We've needed a moment of magic. Sometimes it's, you know, a pass from Keith Ward or a goal from Daryl Horgan or a goal from Leo Gaxa or one of the strikers coming up with a big moment. And Dylan's definitely another one of those types of players that can come in and you know, turn a game in its head quickly, and that's why we're definitely in contact with him.
Kieran, thank you.
Thanks as well.
Are you in enjoying the show, please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, that was Kieran Kilduff. As I said, that was first on the Members Club over the weekend. So if you liked what you heard there and you want to get more of that type of content into your inbox from time to time, then do check out our Members Club. I'm going to leave the summer sale open for another couple of days. So anyone listening to this podcast that wants to avail of that, you can do so. Basically, you'll get 12 months membership of the Between the Stripes Members Club for just €10. It's usually anywhere between €25 and €50 for a year, but you'll get it for a tenner. And you get all of the exclusive content there throughout the next 12 months. So go to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI/membership to sign up, or just check our Twitter feed and you should see a link somewhere there in some of the posts.
You're worse than Bonnie Blue selling you only fans.
Oh, Jesus. Right, let's go to the Between the Stripes LOI Podcast Predictions League now, Gaz. And before the break, we decided, on our mid-season show, we did the predictions for the games at the weekend there so that we could take last week off. And it was, of course, Kira that played for the listeners a couple of weeks ago, my lovely fiance. Oh. She acquitted herself very, very well, Gaz. She got three correct scores, would you believe?
Oh, shit.
Sligo Pats, Waterford, sorry, not Sligo Pats, what am I looking at here? Cork Bows, Shells Rovers and Treaty Bray. She got the correct scores in all three of those games, but unfortunately she didn't get any correct results at all, so she ended with 9 points. It could have been a really good score. She got a few correct scores to go, or correct results to go with it. So she got 9 points. I got 8 points. I got one correct score. That was Cork Bows. I got the correct result in Pat Strata and Sligo Waterford. So, I got two correct scores. I got Derry Galway as well. So two correct scores, two correct results. That got me 8 points. You were the top player with 11 points.
Yep.
You got 3 correct scores and 2 correct results.
Yup. Over. What correct scores did I get?
You got Derry Galway.
Okay.
No, sorry, you didn't get Derry Galway. You got the correct result there. You got Rover Shells, Treaty Bray, and Finn Harps Wexford. You got all them bang on.
Lovely.
So that leaves the league table like this. I am bottom on 89 points. You're second on 96 points. So you've opened up a bit of a cushion over me there. And the listeners are on 117 points. And it's not one of my in-laws playing today, this week, I can reveal.
Nice.
But it's someone we do know very well. It's our old friend, JB, John Breyer. He is going to play it for the listeners this week.
My Breyer. The
original co-host of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. And he'll probably come on in the next while. He loves coming on at the European time of the year, doesn't he? To talk about the coefficient. And there'll be lots to talk about given the old Drogheda situation. So,
oh, yeah, he'll be doing his homework now.
He'll be doing his homework on that Lithuanian team that we were talking about earlier on. So we'll get John in the next few weeks for that. But we'll start with the First Division games. And he is looking at Athlone against Finn Harps to start. He's going for a 1-1 draw, BTS special.
I would be leaning towards Athlone here for some reason, but in saying that, I thought, as you said, Harps played decently enough from what we saw the other night. I'm going to follow Breyer here on a 1-1 draw.
So am I. I think that's a really good prediction. Dundalk against Treaty. John's one is surprising here. He obviously hasn't watched a whole pile of Dundalk this season. He's going 3-0 to Dundalk.
Yeah, I don't see that here.
Treaty, of course, the only team that's taken points off Dundalk twice this season already.
Oh, yes, that's right.
I was at the 2-2 when they got two goals in the last 4 minutes and then they took points off them down in the Marcus Fields as well.
Yes, okay. I'm going to go for... I think Treaty will do the three. Take points off them the three times. I'm going to go for another 1-1 draw here.
Going to go 1-1 as well. Very, very flat performance from Dundalk last week, and of course before the break they were very lucky to win down in Wexford. They've dropped a few points recently, so I don't think it'll just be a click of the fingers job and back to winning ways there. Kerry against Bray, we mentioned earlier, Bray just losing a little bit of momentum. Of course they couldn't keep up the run of form they were on. Can they regain the winning thread here is the key question.
Oh, yeah. And they found it difficult down in Kerry. Do you remember it was that like kind of mad goal in the first minute?
Yeah.
That won it for them.
The keeper kicked it up in the air and then ran around for it.
Yeah. All that shit. I think it's going to be difficult here, though.
Probably says how far Kerry have come, that they were disappointed to only come away from Athlone with a point, beat Longford comfortably before the break. Ryan Kelleher out for probably a good lock of the season, if not all of it, a bad knee injury. So that's not good. They'll need to address that in the window because they're very wasteful in front of goals at times. But
they do create plenty of
create challenge. Plenty, don't put it away. Yeah. Go on, what are you thinking?
1-0 Kerry.
1-0 Kerry. John going 2-1 Bray.
No, actually,
going to go for a third consecutive 1-1 here.
I was thinking the same, but I didn't want to go 3 in a row. But one thing I do... No, hold on. Let me go 1-1 as well.
Ugh.
Sorry. Because Bray do score a lot of goals. They've been quite clinical. As it happens, so yeah, okay, I'm going to stick with that.
UCD against Cove Ramblers.
Now, looking at Cove the other night, I thought they were wasteful, but they do have the ability. I think they'll be kicking themselves with last Saturday night. There's no question about that.
We've been critical of the standard of the division again this season. We were kind of enthused. Remember early in the season, we said we'd been out and we see a lot of things through Longford Town tinted glasses, I suppose. And we had been encouraged by some of the games we saw. We thought they were quite entertaining. But since then, we've been out and about at different first division games and the standard is very poor. But we thought Cove were probably one of the better teams we've seen without being special or anything. We thought they were probably one of the better teams that's come to Bishopsgate this season.
Yeah, they're well drilled. I think they have very good passing and movement and stuff like that is very good. There's no second touches to tackle type shit. So that's obviously vital. I would, let me see. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Cove here.
1-0 win to Cove. Okay. Do I go 1-1 again or do I stick with Cove? I think Cove will be chomping to make up for the mistake of dropping the points against Longford. They're going to go 2-1 to Cove. John's going 1-0 to Cove, so he agrees with you. Right, Wexford against Longford Town. John's like me. He calls it as he sees it. He's going 2-0 to Wexford.
Yeah, well, you were wrong on Saturday. I was also wrong, but more right than you. Did I say 1-0 to Longford Town?
Think so. I went 2-0 to Cove, so I was closer than you. I was a couple of seconds away from being right. Not that I wanted to be right.
Oh, I don't think so, but okay.
Longford didn't deserve a point on Saturday night.
Probably not. But also,
to quote yourself on commentary, Longford have stolen it.
Yeah. That's true. Okay.
But at the same time, they'll go down here and they shouldn't fear Wexford.
No, they shouldn't, but you said something there before.
Did Longford beat Wexford already this season to beat them at home?
No.
No.
Did we? No.
No. Kerry. Treaty. Tree wins. Who was the other one? Sure, it wasn't Wexford. They beat Wexford at home, didn't they? They always beat Wexford. Treaty, Kerry. Yeah, I think they beat Wexford.
Oh, I can't remember. Hold on. Oh, 1 second. Head to head. Hold on. Longford did beat them. May, 2-1.
Maybe I didn't commentate on the game. Who got the goals? Oh, was that the game?
Oh, Manny James scored in the 92nd minute.
I thought that was the treaty game he done that.
No, he did that as well.
But he scored two late goals. See, no, there was another late goal. There you go. Yeah, that's why I didn't do that game.
Okay. No, probably not.
Maybe it did. I can't remember. Just the memory's gone to the dirt.
yeah, look, I think there's nothing to fear about in Wexford, really. But no. One thing there is to fear in Longford is how they manage to become easier to play against. And I think that's a concern.
Yeah,
I'd say that they need to tighten it up in a lot of places. So I'm going to say 1-0 to Longford Town.
Yeah, not a chance that's happening. Haven't won an away game in almost a full year. They might get a point.
So
there's no way they'll win the game.
Okay.
I'll go for another 1-1 in the hope that they get something out of the game. Right, into the Premier Division. Drogheda United against Sligo Rovers.
Yeah, look, Drogheda will have to pick themselves up. I know it'll be more raw here, you know, today. And
they did play well last night against Rovers. Rovers were probably the better team and deserved the result. But for everything that was going on, it was a decent performance from Drogheda. Unfortunately, they'll have probably more time to think about everything that's gone on now. They only had a few hours to think about it last night. They've done well in this fixture. I think I've gone to this game the last twice when they beat them 7-1 or 7-0 last year and beat them 3-0 or something earlier in the season. Does Drogheda just put everything behind them here and continue their good work?
They just have to. Like all they can do now, and actually just on that statement, we look forward to Crumlin.
Yeah, someone had up the most depressing tweet ever, or the most depressing statement ever.
On the history of the English language, that's how depressing that is. That is whoever allowed that to happen. imagine being like Kev getting the piece of paper before that statement was put out and be like, looking forward to Crumlin. Jesus Christ. But anyway, let me see. I think Drogheda have to just, as you said, dust themselves down, get on with it. It's miserable, but that's all they have is to do that. I'm going to say 2-1 to Drogheda.
Yeah, me and John both following you on that. Galway United against St. Pat's. This is a rotten fixture for Pat's, really. In the form they're in.
Yes. No, the whole thing is shite. I'm going to say...
This is the most obvious 1-1 ever.
No. I know what you're saying, but I think 1-0 to Galway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just don't see enough in Pat's.
Yeah, John going 1-0 to Pat, surprisingly. Surprised by that one now.
No, I don't see that.
I know he was never a fan of Caulfield Ball, but...
our friend Max was at the game with me last night as well, so may I find out what he thinks about this one based on what he's seen from Pat last night. I just don't think they're...
On the predictions league this season? I think we have. No?
Don't think so.
No, we may get that sorted. Waterford against Bowes.
You go for this one.
Bowes opened up Waterford down in the RSC earlier in the season, didn't they? Waterford probably unlucky to come away from Sligo with nothing last time. Bowes had probably the easiest game they'll have all season against Cork. Waterford just still can't seem to shake that crack of letting in really soft goals. That's something they're going to have to improve in the second half of the season. If they want to have any chance of catching the teams above them, I don't think they probably will, though. Should be entertaining enough. Should be a fairly open game. 2-1 to Bowes.
This is in Daily Mount, is it?
No, it's in the RC.
Oh, yeah, it is, yeah. Bowes are playing on Dublin Derby on Monday.
Not another set of Monday games, is there?
There is, yeah. Full set.
Oh, yeah, sure. I had to book the day off to come down to Longford for the Clásico. Jesus Christ.
On a Monday night. It should be banned. Whatever about Bowes and Rovers.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Waterford.
Oh, okay. Bowes fans will be delighted to hear that. John going 2-1 to Bowes. Rovers against Cork. Jesus Christ, surely not again. You know that clip of the woman? Not another one.
Yeah.
These teams have definitely played about six times this season already.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Fucking hell. Now, the last time they played recently, now I know it was down in Turner's Cross. I think it was in Turner's Cross anyway. We all said, 3-0 Rovers, this will be a piece of cake. And they drew 1-1.
That's right. Don't think they'll have the same problem this time.
Cork are rotten the other night. We'll fall into the owl trap again. 3-0 to Rovers.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
John's gone the Write same it down. As well. Yeah. And Shells against Derry.
Oh. This could be a brutal game of football. This could be biblical levels.
1-0 Shells.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
1-1, says John.
I don't see Derry scoring. Particularly if Derry get an early goal. They were quite good last night in like just stalling. And Pats were doing like Pats had to work extremely hard to get anything near it. So I'm going to stick with that.
Right, let's move into the BTS hotline. Very convenient that my laptop has decided to freeze at this moment in time. But don't worry, I've got the phone here. We're not in the Stone Age. So let me just scroll through a few tweets. Right, here we go. We've got it. BTS hotline this week. Git, Pats fan, regular contributor. First it was the Eurovision. Then he went to Pitbull. Are you on the lookout for a new co-host? I'll give you the floor.
Don't say that. I might need my head examined after going to that game last night in Richmond Park.
Oh, Pitbull was better, was it? Better entertainment?
Absolutely, yeah. Look, there wasn't one person that said that they had a bad time at a Pitbull concert. Not possible.
There you go, Git. Sammy, still feel like Tommy Barrett is criminally underrated, doing an outstanding job this season, rarely gets the plaudits. Yep, fully agree. Kieran, I think the multi-club ownership thing could be settled by the clubs involved going head-to-head over two legs. Now, that would be entertaining. Draw it in, sinker board. Two-legged tie.
Yeah, but isn't the whole idea...
Yeah,
that you can't have multi-club, you know.
Just on this, right, this is obviously going to become already is becoming a more common issue. We've seen Palace having issues. We've talked about United in the past getting around at the Red Bull clubs. Do you know what would solve this? Just ban the feckin' thing. Outright ban on multi-club ownership.
Yeah, but you see, part of the problem is, right,
it's rotten. Like, look at all them clubs that City are tangled up in, and all the crests are the same, the round crests and the soulless clads. It's brutal. Like, it's such a modern football thing.
Yeah, but like, a part of the problem is, like, it's all about all shit about, like, beneficial owners and, like, who owns what. Like, you know, if Travella, like, they own Drogheda, the company that owns Drogheda. So, like, you know, like, if you put in another three or four companies in between the two of them, would that have solved it? Probably not. I don't know.
Dermot, yeah. SRFC.
Bannett Shamrock. Just before you say that. Yes, Bannett.
Yeah, Bannett. Dermot, SRFC, Shamrock Rovers champions. I think you've pretty much said that already.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Peeps Nation, unfortunately for the league, this is a serious blemish. He's talking about the Drogheda situation. Made great strides in recent years, but this still illustrates amateur hour for Drogheda and Derry, just to be clear.
Yeah, 100%.
And Lee Conroy says, hopefully by the time the pod is out, Drogheda are European dancing in the sun. I'm sorry, Lee.
I'm so sorry, lad. It's, put that passport back.
I think he had it up on Twitter earlier, actually. Drogheda fans not the only ones putting away their passport. I need a picture of Duff up. They obviously won't need that to get to Belfast.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, hopefully they'll need it in the second round. Or the next round, whatever that be.
He'll definitely make a few headlines over the two legs, won't he?
Yeah, because everything that he says is printed. You know, like it's just so tiring. No thanks. Don't want to even talk about it.
Look, we're tired now, 11:45 at night, so we will leave it there. That was Series 9, Episode 18 of Between the Stripes LOA Podcast. We were brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. Have to say, enjoyed the break, but it's good to be back. Thanks to everyone who tuned in, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.